Welcome to the Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast with the team at Mach 1 Financial Group. The Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast starts now.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. This is the Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast with David Lee. I'm Rod Stutz. And of course, David Lee is with the Mach 1 Financial Group, a retirement income planning specialist there. And let's talk about tax consequences, David. You know, different types of accounts have different tax consequences. I thought we could talk about those advantages and disadvantages in different types of accounts and how you use them or don't use them in your retirement planning. First of all, let me ask you about tax-deferred accounts like 401ks and IRAs. How do you treat those?
Okay, so as most people probably know, IRAs and 401ks are a tax-deferred investment vehicle. When you put the money in, as you probably know, you get a tax deduction, right? So if you, let's say you make $100,000 a year and you contribute $10,000 a year to your 401k, then you're only taxed on $90,000. So it benefits you in the current tax year by reducing your taxable income and therefore your total tax. Now, the payback to the government, though, is on the other end of that down the road when you retire and you begin to withdraw money from that account to live, you know, to meet your living expenses. When you pull money out, you pay taxes at whatever the tax rate is at that time, which is an unknown, right? So the proper perspective tax-wise to have on an IRA and 401k, any kind of tax-deferred investment account, the proper perspective to have on that is that it's not really fully owned by you, even though it is called an individual retirement account. It's not really fully owned by you, the individual. It's jointly owned by you and the government, and the government will tell you what percentage belongs to them when you begin to retire or when you begin to withdraw the funds out.
Mm-hmm.
So counterintuitively, the way we view that here at Mach 1 is we actually don't want that account to get too large. And what I mean by counterintuitively, the way most people think about it is I want to contribute as much as I can, as quickly as I can to my 401k or IRA and get that thing as big as possible so that when I retire, I've got plenty of money to live off of. We actually believe that there's a certain optimal maximum that ought to be in those 401ks and IRAs so that you're not exposed to what we believe will be rising tax rates in the future. And we believe those tax rates will go up due to the demographic pressures that are on Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid programs like that, not to mention the national debt itself. All of those are big time factors that are almost certainly, almost guaranteed, I would even say, to cause rising tax rates in the future. And so if you believe that tax rates are going to be going up in the future and you know that when you pull money out of that IRA, you're going to be taxed at whatever those tax rates are in the future, doesn't it make sense to not have too much money in that account? That doesn't mean that you don't want to have money there, but there is a certain optimum maximum and we can help you figure out what that maximum is.
We appreciate your listening to the Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast. Ron Stutz here with David Lee, and we're talking about tax consequences. And that is something that, unfortunately, a lot of people don't spend a lot of time thinking about them, and that's why you need a professional to help you with that. Let's talk about tax-free accounts, Roth IRAs, in other words. What are the advantages and disadvantages, as far as taxes are concerned, with that?
Yeah, good question, Ron. And before I answer that, I want to echo something you just said. You talked about how a lot of times people don't consider the tax consequences of their investment decisions, right? And that's so true. You know, most of the times people just think about trying to maximize their rate of return. But anything that you do in the investment world has consequences in the tax world. And so it's just as important to consider tax consequences as the investment strategy itself. So I just wanted to reiterate something that you just said there. As far as your question about Roth IRAs and how they work, the beauty of a Roth IRA is that unlike a traditional IRA or 401k, down the road when you retire and you start to withdraw money out of that, you can withdraw money completely free of tax. It's free of federal tax, state tax, capital gain tax, and the withdrawals from a Roth IRA don't count towards something called provisional income, which affects how much tax you're going to eventually end up paying on your Social Security income. Now, there are certain criteria that have to be met. For example, if you make too much money, for married filing jointly, too much money is defined as about $190,000, $185,000, something like that. If you make over that amount, then the government essentially says a Roth IRA is too good of a deal for you. They won't let you contribute to it. They won't even let you put that $5,500 per year or $6,500 per year in if you're over 50. They won't even let you put that contribution in. The good news is that there is a backdoor way into a Roth IRA. You can contribute up to your $5,500 or $6,500 per year to the traditional IRA and then convert it to a Roth. That is a taxable event. And so there are certain considerations that have to be met for that. And then once you do a conversion to a Roth, the money has to be there for 5 years before you can access those converted funds. So there are some considerations to be aware of. But my opinion is far and away, a Roth IRA is far preferable to a traditional IRA or 401k. So we want to have up to that optimal maximum number in the IRA or 401k, and everything else ought to be shifted over or converted over to Roth IRAs over a period of years.
You know, it's really unfortunate that the government looks at it like that way. It's almost like they're penalizing you for being financially successful. But yeah. I'm glad to hear you say that there's another way, a backdoor way to get into it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and you want to take advantage of that, because if you believe like I do that tax rates are going to be going up and going up significantly in the future due to the demographic challenges and debt challenges that our country faces, you want to position your assets in a way where they're shielded from future tax rate increases. And a Roth IRA is a beautiful way to accomplish that.
We're talking about tax consequences with David Lee on today's Mach 1 Financial Group podcast. And we've talked about tax-deferred accounts, 401ks and IRAs. We've talked about Roth IRAs. And now, what about taxable accounts, after-tax brokerage accounts? What are the advantages and disadvantages of those as far as taxes are concerned?
Okay, so the advantage of taxable accounts, like you said, brokerage accounts, individually owned, jointly owned, what are trust owned, all those are examples of what we mean by taxable accounts. The advantage there is liquidity primarily, right? You don't have to worry about taxes or penalties for withdrawing the money anytime you want. So just like, for example, your checking account at the bank is what we mean by a taxable account. Money goes in, money goes out. You can take, put money in, pull money out anytime you want, for any reason you want, in any amount you want, right? The disadvantage of that type of account is you don't want to have too much money there, because if you do, if you're keeping it in checking or savings, the obvious disadvantage is rate of return, right? You're basically making 0% interest. Your money is sitting there in the bank collecting dust, mm-hmm. But at least it's safe, you know, insured up to that FDIC insurance limit, it's safe. And you can access it anytime. On the other hand, if you have non or individually owned or jointly owned brokerage accounts, i.e. money in stocks and bonds that are not IRA or Roth IRA, once again, the primary advantage is liquidity. You don't necessarily have that safety factor because markets go up and down, but you do have the liquidity factor. You can convert it to cash quickly and easily. So those would be the primary advantages and disadvantages. Our rule of thumb is you want to have no more than about 6 months of living expenses in those type of accounts. Otherwise, you run a tax rate risk, if we're correct in our belief of where tax rates are headed in the future. So again, our rule of thumb is no more than 6 months of living expenses in those taxable accounts.
David, let's talk about something that you don't see as much of these days necessarily, but how about CDs or certificates of deposit?
Yeah, so bank CDs obviously were more popular back when interest rates were higher. You know, some of our older clients can remember the time back in the 80s when you could get double-digit CD rates and people were lining up at the banks to put their money in bank CDs, and you could live quite, you know, decently on just the interest earned from those CDs. Obviously, that's the thing of the past. Today, if you go to the bank and you buy a 1 year, 2 year, 5 year CD, I mean, you're looking at maybe 1% interest, right? Mm-hmm. So you're looking at a very low rate of return, a return that realistically is going to be less than the rate of inflation. So you're actually going to be losing purchasing power over time due to the corrosive effects of inflation. So our philosophy at Mach 1 is we would use something called an indexed annuity as a CD replacement alternative, where you can get a much better interest rate, still have some liquidity up to 10% per year, and still have that peace of mind with that safety factor of knowing that you're not going to lose money.
Okay, and one more category I'd like to ask you about on today's podcast. How about life insurance, David? What are the tax consequences there?
Okay, so tax consequences of life insurance. Obviously, as far as death benefits go, death benefits from life insurance policies are tax-free, as probably most, if not all of us know, as long as they're structured properly, you know, most of the time they are. So there are two ways to do life insurance, though, and depending on your age and what you're trying to accomplish, there's two different approaches to life insurance. So let's say, for example, if you're a young family, you're just newly married, you maybe got a child or two or three, you need a relatively large death benefit and you want to pay the cheapest premium possible for it. That's called term life insurance. You want something that's going to adequately replace your income and take care of your husband or wife if, in the event of an untimely death. You want to purchase term life insurance in that situation. On the other hand, if you're on the other end of this age spectrum and you're worried about rising tax rates, you might want to consider cash value life insurance because it pays a death benefit no matter when you die. You can, it has certain tax benefits to it as long as it meets certain IRS guidelines, which means you can take withdrawals out of it tax-free, which will shield you from a rising tax rate environment. So as effectively, you can make a cash value life insurance policy behave much like a Roth IRA, but you don't have those limitations that I talked about earlier about Roth IRAs, namely the, you know, the maximum of $5,500 or $6,500 per year going in, and there's no limitations on when you can pull money out, and you don't pay any taxes on when you pay the money out. Plus, it has the additional side benefit of tax-free death benefits and long-term care benefits and things like those. So there's two different approaches to life insurance depending on your age and what you need and what you're trying to accomplish. But it can be a really good tool if it's properly understood and properly used.
Well, thank you, David. That's a lot of good information there. And I know that we have folks who are listening to the podcast and would like to get in touch with you and come in and have a meeting. And let me just say that the number to do to make that happen, the number to call is 479-876-2100. That is 479-876-2100. That'll put you in touch with a Mach 1 Financial Group, your retirement income planning specialist. Come in and have a conversation about your situation. You've been listening to the Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast. I'm Ron Stutz, along with David Lee of Mach 1 Financial Group.
Investment advisory services are offered through Coppell Advisory Solutions, LLC, doing business as Fusion Capital Management, an SEC-registered investment advisor. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. SEC registration is not an endorsement of the firm by the commission and does not mean that the advisor has attained a specific level of skill or ability.